Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I read out the Gospel reading earlier. I'm going to base this morning's message on that reading, but for the text, the verse that really stood out is in chapter 19, verse 32, where we're told, "Those who were sent went and found it just as Jesus had told them." Lord, as we dwell in your word now, as we meditate on your truth, speak to us, bless us, and guide us. May our ears, our hearts, and our minds be open so that we can receive your word to your glory and our eternal good. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a fair bit of excitement around Adelaide and the regions this weekend. It's been building up for a while. It's a thing called Gather Round. If you like your footy, as most or as a lot of people do, Gather Round is a big celebration. Teams coming from all over and everyone playing their games either in Adelaide or up in the Barossa Valley. And all last week, in the paper, on the TV, people talking around the place, people are getting excited. Have you got your tickets? Are you going? Which game are you going to, etc., etc.? And yesterday, went for a bit of a ride up through the valley, through Lindop, and the traffic was absolutely horrendous. People were coming in 9 o'clock in the morning for a game that started at around about 2 o'clock. And people are already gathering because it's a big party atmosphere. There's big festive feeling about it. People just want to be there. I reckon, in a way, that's probably what things were like in Jerusalem back in the time of our text. People from all over came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The Passover was, and still is, one of the most important festivals that the Jewish nation celebrates. And they're remembering the fact that God saved them and rescued them by letting the angel of death pass over their houses when the angel saw blood smeared on the doorways. Any house that didn't have blood smeared over it, the firstborn male was taken by the angel of death. This was God's way not of being cruel to people, but of causing the Egyptian king to finally let the Israelites free from slavery, let them go into the promised land where they could live freely and comfortably under God's blessing. Well, over the years from when the Israelites got out of Egypt to when Jesus turned up, the people of God had ebbed and flowed. At times they were really close to God, obedient to God, faithful to God, and at other times they pushed God aside. They didn't need him. They didn't want him. There were other exciting things to get involved with. There were other stuff that just caught their eye and took up all of their attention. Every now and again, God had to send messengers and bring them back. Bring them back to himself, because God wants his people with him. And even if you read through the Old Testament, all the way through, whenever the people of Israel strayed away from God, he was patient. It broke his heart if he needed to discipline them, but he always invited them back, called them back, and urged them to come back to him. So now we have Jesus coming to Jerusalem, the Passover festival. Not just a one-day event, this went on for a week. People would come up to Jerusalem and they would be aware of why they were there. Major celebration. But people were also aware of this man called Jesus. He'd been performing miracles that no one else had been able to do. He'd been speaking with such authority that the people, the rulers of the temple, the chief priests and so forth, could not argue with him. He'd been showing the heart of God in his short 3 years of ministry, and even though he faced strong opposition, no one could get the better of him. And the rumour going around was this could be the Messiah. This could be the one that God promised all those years ago through the prophets. He might be our salvation. Jesus instructed his disciples to do something very symbolic. Go on ahead of you and you'll find a donkey with a colt. Untie them and bring them to me. Jesus intended to go to Jerusalem for the Passover, but he wasn't going to walk. He was going to ride a donkey. Now that might not seem very significant just if you look at it, but scratch below the surface and this is highly symbolic. You see, Israel's greatest king was King David. King David led Israel through one of its most prosperous periods, powerful army, powerful economy. David, the chosen one from God, was there and led his people. When David's time was up, he handed the throne over to his son Solomon. And to show the nation that here is your new king, David sat Solomon on the king's donkey. And the procession that went through, everybody saw the new king on the donkey and the old king saying, "Here is your king." In later times, through the prophet Zechariah, God said to the people, "Behold, your king comes to you, humble and gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And here comes Jesus. He's on the colt, the foal of a donkey, and he's saying to the people, "Your king's here." Now there was great celebration. Hosanna, hail the king, peace on in heaven and on earth, rah, rah, rah. They threw their coats on the ground. They, in other gospels, we're told, they even cut down palm branches and they made basically what we would call a red carpet entrance for Jesus. Now you'd think that Jesus would be pretty chuffed about this and riding in go, "At last you people have got it." But when he got to the city, he stopped and he wept. He cried. When the Bible says he wept, that doesn't mean he just had a bit of a sob and a couple of tears. His heart broke. And he just cried his heart out. Why? Because these people were close. So close. And yet they missed the point. They were hailing a king that they thought would be a political figure and rescue them from the Roman Empire, which was ruling over the land. What they weren't really ready for was God's Son, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. These people today are yelling out, "Hosanna." But Jesus, knowing what was happening and knowing what was about to happen, could see that in a few days' time, those same people would be yelling out, "Crucify him." It doesn't take much to stir up a mob and get people to turn from being your friend to being your enemy or against you if they don't get what they want. I started out by talking about Gather Round. I remember not so long ago going to a game of footy at the Adelaide Oval. And I won't mention that it was Port Adelaide. And in halfway through the last quarter, the other team were winning. And my wife and I, Veronica and I, we watched as just hordes of people were walking out of the ground, leaving. And it was still about 15 minutes to go. All these supporters who had come at the start of the match, expecting to win and all happy and cheering, the team's not winning, so no, I'm not watching that, and they're all walking off. It doesn't take much to turn people when they're disappointed. And these people thought they were getting a David King. But what God offered was a Saviour King. And they didn't want it. They turned on him. In 4 days, they went from Hosanna to crucify. And Jesus, he didn't weep for himself, he wept for his people because they missed salvation by that much. It breaks God's heart whenever anyone turns from him or turns their back on salvation. I started out with the verse. They found it just as he had told them. And this is really important for us to know, because all these events and what it leads up to, it is just as God had planned it. In a few days, we'll be celebrating Easter weekend. We'll be celebrating the death, the innocent death of God himself hanging on a cross. But we'll be celebrating why he hangs there. He hangs there for us and our salvation. On Easter Sunday, as we celebrate his glorious resurrection, we're also celebrating our own resurrection, because through faith in Jesus Christ, God's promise is that we too are raised to new life. We too share in his victory over sin, death and the grave. We too will be with him forever. It's just as he has said. The entrance into Jerusalem is often called the triumphal entry. And it is. It's a triumph. A triumph of Jesus over the devil. A triumph of God over our sinful human nature. It's a triumph of God keeping his promise to you and me, that he wants us and that we will be with him forever. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he was weeping over the fallen state of his people. God has wept over us. And now, through the resurrection of Jesus, God smiles when he looks at you and me. God smiles and his heart doesn't break with tears. His heart bursts with joy. You and I give him great joy through our faith and our relationship in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. The fact that you're here this morning gives God great joy. And he hears our prayer. He hears your singing. He hears the fact that we are together in his name, and it gives him great joy. Over the next few days, as you get ready for Easter, I'd like to encourage you, apart from stocking up on Easter eggs and all the goodies, I'd like to encourage you to just take each day take a few moments to stop and just have a think about how much God absolutely loves you. Sometimes it's hard to really get that because we don't always love ourselves. We don't always like ourselves. But God always loves us. Take a few moments to dwell on that and be encouraged again this Easter weekend to really celebrate that His love guarantees our life. Bless you all. I pray that you all have a truly remarkable Easter in Jesus' name. Amen.